ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
That's me!
Yes!
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. It is 7 o'clock, which means time for my favorite hour of the week. I love this.
Shock therapy.
I like this time. It's always fun. It is time to hang out.
Do your best Sean Connery accent.
I can't because you just owned it. So
I'm Sean Connery.
That's pretty all right.
I used to be able to do better.
Okay.
Sean Connery.
Go back and watch some 007 flicks and then.
Bond. Yeah, it's bad.
It's all right.
It's bad.
I'm Steve-O. With me as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. And if you're new to Shock Therapy Live, it is our one-hour call-in show focused on you, your thoughts, your questions, ideas, desires, whatevers. Give us a call, 505-338-3700. We're here to hang out with you. In fact,
have you ever noticed, just on the topic of accents,
that
when you try to do like an Irish accent, for some reason, at least I naturally want to go high like a leprechaun.
Yeah.
It never sounds like a cool Colin Farrell
Irish accent.
It's like, you're always after me lucky charms. And it's like, wait a second. Why are you a prepubescent Irish boy? It never comes out sounding cool. It always comes out like, man, I don't know. I wish I could do like a cool Irish accent. You're always after me lucky charms. I don't know. Like a deep voice.
Why, you rolling your R's like Spanish style. Like, who rolls their R's that is Irish?
I don't know. Like,
you're always after me lucky charms.
Some Irish guy named Timothy Romero.
505-338-3700, the phone number. And the phone lines are open. We've got an email question that we'll get to here in just a moment. But as always, we like to take the phone calls first because we get some interaction there. And already phone lines filling up. So let's start taking calls.
I'm still on the whole Irish thing.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about Highlander because I was thinking about that.
There can be only one.
And then I thought about one of my favorite songs. Is that
the Queen song?
Here we are.
Did you know that they're redoing it?
Are they?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds signed on to play.
What?
Yeah.
Anyways, what?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 505-338-3700. And welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello?
Princes of the Universe.
Not you, the person on the
line. No, we're the princes of the universe. They're talking to us.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Welcome to Shock Therapy.
Hi. I didn't really know how to start because I'm like new to this, but I just wanted to ask you some stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. So start at the beginning, wherever you want.
Okay, well, I'm like hold on, lost but what, the, and everything.
The
like,
first thing I would say is you're going to have to turn your radio down because you're totally going to confuse yourself.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay, well, my sister, she had invited me to church and everything, and like before I didn't want anything to do with church.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'll give it a try. So I ended up going, and I liked it. And now it's like she's judging me about, like, all the stuff that I have done in my life. And, like, I just want to completely give up on my faith and everything. Because, you know, she's always saying, like, you know, I'm better with God. So I'm like, then, you know, if God, you know, why go to church when there's people like you? And I don't know.
Well, let me ask you, first of all, one question. You went to church, but did you actually, like, get saved? I know we throw that term around.
Yeah.
But so you went forward an altar call. You said a prayer and accepted Christ?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I've been attending my church for, like, 3 months now. And,
awesome.
You know, I've been baptized. And
booyah.
Awesome. Now, is she judging you about stuff that you did in the past or stuff that you're currently doing?
Like, you know, I don't want to, like, how can I put this in a way where I don't sound like I'm a rebel or anything, but, you know, I have piercings and everything, and she goes, that's the devil.
That's
and
not.
No, that's not. I have big, giant plugs.
Yeah, and we're both tatted up.
Yeah, yeah. So you're talking to the right people, apparently, because the good news is the first thing I thought of is the fact that the Bible tells us clearly that there's only one judge, actually.
Yeah, and it says there's no condemnation in Christ.
Yeah, it's not your sister. And yeah, Romans 8, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And so let's talk about this. Why do you feel judged? Because sometimes it could be guilt of the past, or sometimes it could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
And let me lay something out here as far as judgment goes. It's one thing to judge somebody with how they look. Oh, you have tattoos. Oh, you have piercings. Oh, that's not godly. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Now there are other things in life that, let's say you accepted Christ and you say, you know what? I've been sleeping with my boyfriend. I'm going to keep doing that. You know what? I really love going out and partying, getting drunk. I'm going to keep doing that. Those are things the Bible talks about and clearly forbids. So if we get saved and then we continue on in our sin, the Bible actually says if you continue on in your sin, you have no part in Christ.
Yeah.
So if we say we're a Christian but continue to do stuff like that, then that's not as much judgment if someone is pointing those things out. That would be more... You could call it Christian encouragement that
there you know go.
you got to stop doing that kind of stuff. So
let's,
is she judging you about?
I don't drink booze or anything. I'm really like 18, so I buy it yet. So
let's talk about this. I mean, you've been in church for about 3 months now. You got saved. You got baptized. You're rocking it. You're loving Jesus, but just kind of hating on the hypocritical jerk faces that are at church, right?
Like, so she's been like attending church for 2 years, and like every time we go anywhere, she's always saying, well, I'm born with God, you need to be saved like in the Holy Spirit to feel what I feel, you know, you have piercings and you listen to rock music, and I'm like, I enjoy that, but you know, I don't listen to music that's talking about God. And I don't know, she just, you know, she's constantly, you know.
Those all sound like stupid reasons to judge somebody to me.
It all sounds
especially
like,
she says, you need to feel what I feel. Okay, so you're basing your relationship on God based on feelings? That's a horrible place to start off. You know, if she's...
I told her, like, you know, God's not going to take sides or think, well, you're more Christian than what I am. So he's not going to love me. And, you know, she's just putting me down. And I just, like, you know, I'm like, at the point where I just want to scream and just be like, you know what, I don't want to be like you if that's what Christian people become.
That is
like.
Good. You don't want to be
her. And I was just about to say, the good news is Christianity has nothing to do with your sister's relationship to Christ. It solely has to do with your relationship to Christ. And so if you don't have anything to do with the way that she's doing it, then screw it. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who says you even have to go to her same church? Because I'll tell you what right now, what I'm hearing from your sister doesn't sound very Christ-like at all. It sounds more like the Pharisees. I think of so many different parables, but the parable immediately I think of is the tax collector and the Pharisee.
Yeah.
And there's two people in the temple, and the Pharisee saying, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like any of these other people and that I do this and I do that. And oh, thank you, Lord, that my life is so great. And then there's a tax collector on his face in the temple crying, saying, man, I am so unworthy to be here. Jesus said who walks away justified? I'll tell you right now, it's a dude on his face, not the guy who's thankful that his life is so good and I'm so holy and look at my life. That's stupid.
Yeah, like she goes, like, you know, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never be mad again. But I'm like, that's part of life.
That's actually not biblical.
Yeah, do you know that Jesus Christ got super pissed off when he was in the temple and made a whip made of cords and whipped people and threw over money changers?
Yeah.
Is that anger or is that happiness? That's anger.
And scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. The presupposition there is you're going to get angry.
Yeah.
You're going to get angry. You're going to get pissed. And so,
look at David, man. David was a man after God's own heart. That guy got mad at some folks.
Yeah.
You know, that guy was, you know, he was like, he had a very short fuse, David. I mean, look at Samson. Okay. You want to talk about a guy getting mad? He slaughtered an army with the jawbone of a donkey because they pissed him off.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are human beings that God used. And so for anyone to say, what I hear is I hear a surfacey gospel message that has gotten very popular in our culture today that says if you accept Jesus Christ, everything's going to be great. You're never going to get mad. You're never going to deal with depression. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. And that's crap. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
I mean, look at
that's
look
what
at
a guy
the,
in Houston says.
Yeah, that's what, you know.
Hey, man. Hey.
Hey, man. Just, you know, it's a better tomorrow, bro. You know, that's not what it's about. It's, you know, having Jesus Christ in your life isn't about having a better tomorrow. It's about having a better day today because we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that's what the Bible's about. And anyone who tells you that you can't, you know, you can't have bad relationships with people, that you can't be sad, that you're never going to get angry, they're lying. Because look at Jesus Christ. Yeah. That guy was denied by his family. His family didn't like him. That guy experienced extreme depression to the point of sweating blood. That guy cried out. That guy had friends that left him. That guy was, you know, everyone says, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to have a lot of money. Dude, Jesus was homeless and he didn't have money. And they had to, Jesus provided money for the disciples by pulling it out of a fish's mouth because they weren't making any. So, I mean, you know, for anyone to say these things and try to make you feel bad, shame on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like, I shouldn't depend on her, on my faith, but right. It's just like, it's constantly. And, you know, it just, she's putting me down. And recently we met some woman. Telling us, you know, her life, like she was a Buddhist and she got saved by God, and you know, we've been talking to her and we got her a gift, and like out of nowhere she goes, like, this is like the devil's sign, like the designs of the dress are the devil. And I'm like, well, you can't think that way because you'd go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then my sister's all like, you know, you don't have any faith. You don't know anything. Let her finish talk. And I'm like, no, you can't think that way. Like, you would become like a psychopath.
Yeah.
You'd be like worrying about like, it, what if my letters have like,
it sounds to me like you need to stop hanging out with your sister and stop going to whatever church is teaching these doctrines and start hanging out with real Christians.
I was actually going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You need to get plugged in somewhere and if it,
and realize that not all Christians are fake. There's a lot of Christians who really do love God and really are down to earth and really want to see, you know, genuine growth, not some kind of false growth that says eventually you're going to feel what I feel and you're going to have the humbala shambala bambala.
Right.
You know, whatever. I think you need to get plugged in with a real group of Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want my faith to get higher, and I want to like start going to church every day, not worrying about what people are thinking about me. And,
right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this right now: you need to realize this as well, though. No matter how many of us say we are Christians, and no matter you know how quote unquote holy we are, no matter how many amazing things we do, we're all stupid humans. We are all going to make mistakes. I fail, man. I do. I fail. We all fail. And so do not ever, and maybe this is what God is teaching right now. You need to make sure you are not placing these human beings, on a pedestal, because your sister, who's, you know, quote unquote, been walking with the Lord, is in a position where right now, because you are new to Christianity, that's kind of what you view as Christianity. And unfortunately, because she acts like an idiot sometimes, she was instrumental in you possibly walking away from your faith. You know what I mean? So you cannot allow someone else's idiocy to dictate your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that all help?
Yeah, it does. Because, like, you know, I just wanted her to like me more. Like, for her to say, wow, she's more with God. Or I was just trying to impress her.
Don't do that. You never want to try to get your relationship with God right to impress someone else, because it's not about them. You know, she doesn't determine where you're going to spend eternity. She doesn't determine your salvation. God does. So anytime we want to, and I always tell people this whenever I give a gospel invitation, look, don't worry about what the person next to you thinks, because they don't determine where you're going to spend eternity. God does. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what anyone else in this world thinks about you. You are the person who makes the decision of whether or not you're going to accept or reject Christ, not anyone else.
Yep.
Did you have any other questions?
No, that's all. I want you to get to other people's phone calls, but thank you.
Have a great night, and feel free. I mean, we're here every Sunday night.
Yeah.
You said you were 18, right?
Yeah.
If you want to get plugged in somewhere cool, I highly recommend the Lobo Theater every Thursday night. It's called Renovate, and Pastor Nate's ministry down there, and I absolutely love it, and I would recommend checking it out. And I don't know, if you have questions, feel free to call us up, because that's what we're here for.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All God right. bless. It was good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
Yeah, we got another question.
Yeah.
From Princess Hello Kitty Love. I'm serious. Dear Pastor Nate and Steve-O, it's almost time for school again. How do I overcome my feeling that on my first day, I will get into a fight?
Stop it right now. Are you serious?
Oh, totally.
That's the question?
Totally.
Say that again.
It's almost time for school again. How do I overcome my feeling that on my first day, I will get into a fight?
Wow.
Man.
I don't know.
I don't know how to answer that, really.
No. How do I overcome my feeling that on my first... Well, first of all, if you're looking for it, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. Because growing up, for a few years, I was in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Like, lone white kid, me and my brother, we fought, like, daily, man. And I would go home at night, and I would be bummed out, and I would tell my mom I don't ever want to go to school again because I'm going to get into a fight tomorrow. And then all night, I wasn't sleeping. And then I get to school, and I was on guard, and I was prepared for a fight. And sure enough, the first time somebody... step towards me, I was so jumpy that nine times out of ten, it became a fight.
I'm going to assume, first of all, that with a name like Princess Hello Kitty Love, this is a female.
I hope so.
Usually girls don't go around like looking for fights. At least when I was in high school, it wasn't like girls were like walking up to each other and saying, what, you want some of this? Didn't happen often. So I would say that if you're not going into school trying to find a girl to rip her hair out, claw her, and slap her, if you're not going into school with that intention, chances are no one's going to come up to you and try to pick a fight with you.
Yeah.
Unless there's something you're not telling us and, like, you know, during the summer you've been starting a website, spreading rumors and secrets about everyone that you go to school with, and they secretly found out who you are, and Princess Hello Kitty Love is really a girl named, like, Amanda Kate, and now they know who you are and they're going to jump you and beat you up. If that's the case, then maybe you should be scared. But unless you did something like that over the summer, I would say don't worry about it.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that one. If you're listening, Princess,
hello,
please,
Kitty,
please call 505-338-3700, because that's a one-liner and it doesn't really give us a whole lot of information to
now,
go on.
Now, when you read Princess Hello Kitty Love, what kind of a voice do you want to say it in?
Well, when I read it?
When you read it, I naturally picture Princess Hello Kitty Love!
Dude, you need to get away from that star.
Don't you?
505-338
admit it.
3700, the phone number.
Or let's try it in the Lucky Charms voice. Princess Hello Kitty Love.
You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me is Pastor
Princess
Nate
Hello
Heitzig.
Kitty Love.
Wow. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hello, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Oh, it's going.
It's good.
Yeah. So I have a really kind of intense question.
Okay.
This one's been really haunting me for like 5 years now. So, I dated a girl for like 4 years. We got engaged, and then we basically like 2 years ago, I really got far away from God, got all involved in like really weird things, and I started sleeping with other women, and, we had to break it off, and,
right.
She doesn't talk to me anymore. Anyways, and it says in Proverbs 6, you know, a man that commits adultery, he loses, you know, he destroys his own soul. And it's for, like, ever since we broke up, I, you know, even if I date other girls, I stopped. I got really close to God again. But if I can't, I don't like dating, and all I do is think about her. And I really feel like I'm so caught up on it, but I feel like it's God trying to, you know, teach me something from it. And, I'm just wondering, will God allow me to love a woman again?
I'm going to let Steve-O answer this, but I just want to point out, first of all, what you committed was fornication, not adultery. Adultery is something that you commit against a wife. If you're married, you commit adultery. But if you have sex outside of marriage, that's fornication. So I want to point that out, first of all. But I'm going to let Steve-O take this one.
Yeah, man. I can speak into this with a lot of wisdom, actually. I was in a relationship before being married now, actually. And I was to a point of engagement, and I was to a point where, I wasn't walking with the Lord, and we had a place and all of these things, and it was a really crappy relationship. It was a really crappy situation. I was not a good dude, and I absolutely wrecked and destroyed that relationship. And so I feel you on that level. One, if I can just be so bold as to ask you, were you guys sexually intimate before, you know, in this relationship, were you sexually intimate with this fiance?
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20 talks about aligning yourself, and it's going to be very hard to hear, but it talks about aligning yourself with a prostitute. And what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, clearly talks about sexual immorality and not being married. That's exactly what it was, even though you were engaged. And I was engaged in the exact same thing. But it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, you are in a sexual relationship with a girl, and with that comes a lot of intensity. As the Bible clearly just said, man, you united yourself with this girl. You united yourself, and the two became one flesh. And there's some really deep spiritual, emotional connections that go along with that. And that is why God has called us to be pure before marriage. And when you're not, like I was not, like you are not, it's very damaging because the relationship ends, and you're still haunted by it. You're still thinking about it. It's still stewing inside of you. Now, I also want to say this. You know, you got involved in some really stupid things or whatever, and, you know, committed, quote-unquote, as you said, adultery or fornication, to quote it properly. And the good news is, if you are a child of God's, if you belong to Jesus, as we said to the last caller, Romans 8 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I sadly count myself among those who have committed adultery. In fact, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, man, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. So there are many men out there who wouldn't want to admit it, but who have and are probably committing adultery. And so that scripture that you pointed out in Proverbs, if you're worried like, oh man, I can never be in another relationship again because I screwed up the one good relationship I had, that's not necessarily the case. And I felt that for a long time, man. I was with this girl for, I think it was about 4 years as well for me, engaged, and I totally screwed it up. I destroyed the relationship, and I didn't think I was going to meet, you know, I was like, she was the one, and I'm never going to meet anyone like her. And I'm celebrating 10 years of marriage this year, you know? And it took a lot. It took a lot, man. It took me aligning myself with Christ. It took me getting involved. It took me growing deeper. And it took something that Romans tells us very clearly, not to conform to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that renewing of our minds comes from reading God's word. And so the more you dig into his word, the more you get involved in ministry, the more that you start doing things for him and see what God has for your life, I promise you, those things are going to go away, because what you are doing right now is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where I'm at, so I'm kind of making some assumptions, is you dwell on it. You focus on it. And as long as you are focused on that, your mindset, your heart is not focused on Christ, because it's tearing at you. It's something that sucks. And dude, I'm not going to lie to you. It hurts. It's painful, and it does suck, especially when you're in a sexual relationship with somebody and it falls apart. You emotionally and spiritually tied yourself to that person, man, and that's going to be there, you know, and you're going to have that. But the cool thing is, Christ said there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, or Paul said rather. And so when you are walking with God, man, his mercies are new every day, and I promise you that you can overcome this. It takes a lot, though. It takes a lot. And unfortunately, it's one of those consequences of sin and the consequence of your actions of being in a sexual relationship. And yeah, you screwed up. But does that mean that you can't love someone ever again? Absolutely not. But I'll also tell you this, man. I was in that relationship, and then after that fell apart, I just didn't care anymore because I was so frustrated and upset that that relationship fell apart. And sadly, I went off the deep end the opposite way and ran away from God and started sleeping with other people and just doing stupider and stupider things. And it took a lot, and it took a commitment from me saying, you know what, God, I don't know if I'm ever going to be in a relationship again, but I don't care. Because I love you, and I want to grow deeper in my relationship with you. And I gave up women completely, period, and said, maybe I won't be with anybody again. And literally months later was when I met my wife. And God just needs that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's what God needs from you, is that 100% dedication and commitment, and just turn it over to Him and say, you know what, if I'm not going to love again, if I'm not going to be in a relationship again, that's okay, because I'm in the most satisfying relationship ever, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is the only true fulfilling relationship in this universe. And so maybe if you put your focus there for now, you never know what God's got for you in the future.
And also understand this, you know, the blood of Christ covers a multitude of sins.
Amen.
And the Bible says that all have sinned, that all have fallen short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we also have to understand that all sin is leveled at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
That no sin is worse than another, besides the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which realistically isn't something that you do once and you're done for. It's a progression that leads to that. So, you know, your sin can be forgiven, and God has a plan for your life and for your relationships, and so you need to commit that over to Him.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I want to read to you verse 2, because I love to quote Romans 8:1 all the time. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But verse 2 is really the kicker. It says, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So, man, if you are in Christ, you are set free from the laws of sin and death. So you can't look at yourself as this fornicator, this adulterer, this whatever that you're looking at yourself as, this guilty, guilty, shameful person, because that's not even the way Christ looks at you. You are redeemed.
Yeah.
You are made righteous by Him. And so stop looking at yourself that way and start looking at yourself the way God looks at you.
Yeah, tell yourself, you don't know me. Don't label me. You got to tell yourself.
So does that help you out, man?
That really helps me, guys. Thank you. So just whenever, let's say, you know, I'm going through, like, tons of shame. Let's say I'm going through, you know, I'm feeling massive regret about what I've done. Just read my Bible.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Dude, I keep a card with me, and it's, like, falling apart. And I've said this before on the show, but I have a little card in my wallet that I carry with me. Because, like I said, man, I've been married now for 10 years, or it'll be 10 years in October. And that doesn't mean that you don't still have those moments where Satan will try and attack you.
Satan's called the accuser of the brethren.
And that's exactly it. I have a little card that's got a bunch of scriptures on there that I go to that are my reminders that Satan is my foe. He's actively against me. He's trying to destroy me. He wants to murder my joy, my love, my marriage, my ministry. And so if I were you, I would start writing some of these scriptures down as a reminder that God's word is true. And so when you are thinking about those things, you can take your perspective and say, well, you know, but I feel like this, and I'm guilty, and I suck, and I did these things, and I destroyed a great relationship. Or you can look at the way God looks at you and views you and remember that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, read those encouraging verses like that.
Yeah, that nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of in Christ Jesus. And the cool thing is, it says nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus, right? Nothing in all creation. You're a created being. That means you, man. And so if you are in Christ, you're set free. And so I would write down those verses, and I would just keep them with you. And in those times when you start feeling that way, just flip it upside down and start reading scripture, because Satan's going to try and attack you. He's the accuser of the brethren, as Nate said. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to destroy your joy, man. But you have to remember, every time he tries to remind you of your past, you remind that idiot of his future. And it's not a very good future.
Yeah, don't talk to him, though.
Yeah, no.
Talk to God.
No, exactly. You talk to God. And so keep that in a wallet or wherever, and just meditate on God's word, because it's absolutely incredible. And we can take it as truth, man, because it is absolute truth.
Yeah, again, you don't go up to Hulk Hogan and say, dude, you punch like a sissy.
Right.
What you do is you go up to Hulk Hogan with, like, Chuck Liddell in front of you and say, hey, Hulk, you punch like a sissy. And then, like, and then you got, like, that backup that's standing there with you. So you know, you got to keep that mediator. God's your mediator.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome, guys. I really thank you for that. It really helps.
Right
a lot
on, man.
To know that, yeah, God is there with me. You guys take it easy, okay?
You too, man. Have a great night.
Thank you. Yeah, take it easy. Bye.
All right.
You know, it is interesting. A lot of people think that Satan and God are in some kind of like a wrestling match and that
right.
it's still kind of up for grabs of who would win.
Right.
And we don't realize that it's already done.
Yeah.
It's already finished. You know, the card has already been written and Satan's already lost. Not to say I wouldn't mind seeing a little UFC fight between God and Satan. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be pretty interesting.
It wouldn't be interesting. It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So
it would be like, did you ever see those T-shirts where it's got like Satan, it's like full on red Satan, all bruised and battered, and it's got the cross, and Jesus had like been hitting him with the cross?
I haven't seen those.
I've seen those T-shirts.
Sadly,
it used to always make me so angry.
I only think of Carmen. I think of the champion. Remember in the boxing match, and it's like the devil and Jesus gets knocked out, and it's like 10, and he starts counting backwards. And then he gets to one, and he rises up. And it's like,
I think of, shout at the devil!
Wow. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm kind of like lost hope. Me and my husband have been separated for over a year. And today he told me that he will no longer go to church because he's given up hope and he doesn't believe anymore. He's just been really mean and hard to deal with, and it's hard because we have a 11-month-old child, so I don't know what to do anymore. I need some sort of sign. I don't know what to do. I've fasted, I've prayed, I've done everything possible. I'm throwing my hands up.
to recap, you guys have been separated for about a year now.
Yes.
Right? You have an 11-month-old. You're obviously living separately.
Yes.
Same state?
Yeah, same town, about 20-30 minutes away.
Okay. And he obviously you're actively involved in your church, it sounds like. And are you seeing a pastor currently or any kind of counseling currently?
Actually, I'm between churches because our church is lacking a pastor. So the pastor I do see, he's counseled me a little bit on my own because I haven't been able to get my husband there, but they're all just praying for me continuously and trying to support me and doing everything they can there, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, here's the, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna try to encourage you, but I'm also gonna tell you the hard truth. And that truth, first of all, is that you can't force anybody to do anything.
Right.
And as sincere as your desire might be and as godly as your desire might be, if your husband decides that he's going to refuse to come to church and that he doesn't want to work on things, there's nothing that you can humanly do to make him want to. There are ways that you can try. There are things that you can attempt, but nothing can force somebody to do something that they don't want to do. In the same sense that somebody who has alcoholism or who's addicted to drugs, if they don't want to change, no amount of rehab, no amount of books or 12-step programs will help them unless they desire to change.
Yeah.
And so the same is true in this situation. And the most important thing to do is honestly what you're doing right now. I know it sounds hard because you're not seeing results, but the best thing to do is for you to see a counselor consistently, pray that eventually he will, have people praying for you, that you continue to pray for him, and then that you let go and you let God, and that you give God the opportunity to speak into his life and pray that he does, and be prepared if he doesn't, and be prepared of how you can get on and how you can cope after that situation. The most important thing, again, is to give it to the Lord and trust that the Lord has your best intentions and your best plan, at the center of his heart. And I really believe it's going to be important for you to get consistent counseling and work through some of these issues and talk through some of these issues, on a much deeper basis than what we can on this show. And also find a church that you can plug into.
Absolutely.
And call your home, because you're going to need accountability and support in this time. And the best place to get that is from your church body, from a women's ministry, from people that can keep you accountable and help you and encourage you. And also a place that you can try to get your son plugged in as he grows up, and that you can give him the upbringing that he needs. And so these are all the important things that you're going to want to do. And I'd love to invite you personally just to Calvary right now. We have a series called Keep Calm and Marry On right now that specifically deals with marriages that are having problems, marriages that are dying, even marriages that are good, trying to strengthen relationships. And I think it could be something that could help you as you try to move past this and as you try to pick up the pieces and rebuild your life and rebuild your relationships. So that would be the best advice that I could give you. I'm so sorry for what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know this. This is all things that I already know. It's a daily battle. I have to wake up in the morning and decide I have to be strong and stay. It's been hard.
And there's going to be days that are harder than others. You know, there's going to be some days where, you know, there's something that's on your mind and it keeps you away from it and that you're going to have a better time. And there's other days you're going to wake up and you're just going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
And that's typical with pain and grieving, no matter what the situation is. There's some days where it's easier and other days where it just sucks.
And that's why you need, do you have any, people in your life right now, solid friends that love the Lord that you can kind of hang on to and kind of be or have that shoulder for you to be able to quote unquote cry on, or just whether it be accountability or, like I said, just to be able to hang out with friends? Do you have that currently?
Yeah, I do. But to me, I don't want to constantly dwell on it and bring that up as
which is
what
good.
My life
right.
is. I try to embrace the happiness and the accomplishments I'm working on in life, because right now that's all I have to hold on to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to invite you to an event that we have.
Yes,
that's for
dude.
Women. It's coming up really, really soon. It's on August 3rd, and it's called She Presses On, and it's a women's conference. And it's the heart of it is for people that, you know, are dealing with issues, whatever the issue is. And it's for people who need to press on, women who need to press on towards the goal. It's going to be joined by Crystal Lewis and Ann Graham Lotz, great speakers, Lenya Heitzig, and it's going to be a really, really great time. Because the heart of it is we know that only God can help us press on. And that's the heart behind this. And I believe it can help you, look towards the goal and press on towards Christ and have the godly aspect, throughout this whole entire situation. I think it'd be really, really helpful for you.
Yeah, I will look into that.
Right,
hopefully I'll be able to get my mom and my sisters to go.
That's perfect, because actually, they're really trying to look at that. So, they're bringing, Ann Graham Lotz is bringing her daughter, Crystal Lewis is bringing her daughter,
yeah.
And they want it to kind of be a mother-daughter kind of a thing, so it might be a really good thing for you guys. It's August 3rd to the 4th. And it's going to be held at Calvary of Albuquerque.
And it's only $20.
It's $20 and includes that whole time. And it's going to be really, really great. I just want to read you the heart of it. It says, "We've heard from girls and grandmothers, the fallen and the faithful, lay people and those in leadership who feel oppressed by the world around them, depressed by their circumstances, but are impressed with the need for more of Jesus. We know that only God can help them press on. We want to give you the practical tools you need to press toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And that's the heart of it. It's for people who are depressed by their circumstances, who feel oppressed by the world around them. And I think it'd be really helpful for you.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're
Thank
very
you
welcome.
So much.
We'll be praying for you.
All right. Bye-bye.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. And you can also email in if you'd like to keep it anonymous.
Yeah, we got
studio.
we got some more questions actually.
Oh, good.
We got several. We got another one from Princess Hello Kitty Love, and we're gonna address
good.
That in a second. Kind of a follow up.
Okay.
But then we got a few Facebook ones that we want to address. First one, I have a question. I've been saved for my whole life. That's pretty impressive. I wish that I could accept Christ in the womb.
Stop it.
For my whole life, and in the past year, my spiritual life has grown a lot. However, I was baptized before I was saved, pre-womb, at the beach water park many years ago. Should I get baptized again? Yeah, you should. Derek Sandoval actually, and I love this. This is biblical. When the body self-medicates, he answered the question. He answered it really well. He said, "Dominic, do it, bro. Mm-hmm. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. You are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So yeah, bro, totally. If you got saved after the fact, why not do it again and testify of the great work that Jesus has done in your life, bro? So glad to hear that, man. Just my two cents. LOL."
I did the same thing.
Derek, I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, this is what baptism is all about. Baptism is only meant to be done once we've accepted Christ, because all baptism is exactly what Derek said. It's an outward expression of an inward reality.
Yeah.
The reality that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he forgave you of your sins, and what you do in baptism is it's your declaration to the world saying, I have died to the old man, and I have risen up in Christ,
yeah,
who died and rose for me. And so it's a beautiful thing in the context of that. It means nothing unless you've accepted Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing unless you've accepted Christ.
Right.
So,
do
with
it.
That being said, you've never truly been baptized, because baptism is only meant for Christians. So do it, man.
Yeah.
Get baptized.
And Dominic says, you know, I've been saved my whole life. That's kind of, you know, when I was 6 years old, I gave my life to Christ, and I just put that in quotations, at a Salty convention, I think mostly because I wanted to go on stage with Salty.
Dude,
and,
that guy's awesome.
Yeah, right? And so I was baptized, and I was baptized shortly thereafter, you know, when I was a little kid. But then about 11 years ago, when I truly surrendered my life to Christ and was like, man, I want to do this for real.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, and I started growing, and I just wanted that. And so, yeah, I did the same thing. Why
Derek,
not?
Great answer, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love seeing that when people answer the questions that are already asked. So,
yeah.
I think that's really cool. Oh, wow, we got more comments.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Or Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
They're listening and commenting on our conversation through Facebook. Derek says,
good.
Preach, Nate Dogg, winky eye. Dominic says, whoops, sorry, I didn't mean my whole life. More like 3 years.
Okay. There you
okay,
go.
Like the clarification, like
there
the winky
go.
Eye.
There you go.
Now we got another follow-up question from Princess Hello Kitty Love.
Nice.
Princess Hello Kitty Love says the second part of the story.
Okay.
So we're trying. We're working.
Girl
through
who
this.
Wanted to get into a fight.
Yeah.
Didn't want to get into a fight.
Girls normally don't just go into fights. You know, I said
right.
Again, if you start a website, spread rumors about people, there's a chance. So we have a little follow-up.
And if you were just joining us, we got an email earlier question from this person saying, "Hey, I'm worried school's coming up, and I'm scared that the first day of school I'm going to get into a fight. How do I overcome that?"
Yeah.
So second part is
pretty intense.
Yeah.
The second part of the story is me and this girl got in a fight before, and she is a West Sider. And she wants to get into a fight again, and she has been spreading rumors that I was pregnant, and she said that she wanted to kill me, and she is always texting me nasty messages and telling me that she is going to kill me.
Oh, that's called,
yeah, that's called death threats. Call the cops.
Yeah. Dude, for real.
Especially if you have it via text message, that stands up in a court of law.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are threats, and that's serious. And I know people are like, oh, man, no, I don't want to do that. No,
yeah.
Dude, seriously.
Second,
call the
second
cops.
Second option is to take the rest of the summer and train in kung fu and then be ready for it.
Or call the cops and then do that anyway, so
yes,
that you're prepared anyway.
Kung fu and cops.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, kung fu cops.
Or you could always just carry pepper spray.
Oh, man.
No, that's serious. Like that's
I know.
That's a good tactic.
That's true, because
people come up, they're like, "Hey, I'm going to beat you up." Oh, pepper spray in the eyes.
Yeah, we're
try beating me up when you can't see me.
We're kind of being funny about it, but the truth of the matter is, if somebody's texting you and saying that they're going to kill you,
yeah, you need to take it seriously.
Chances are you need to take that very seriously, because you never know. In the case of this last Friday,
yeah,
there are crazy people in the world. And so, therefore, if somebody threatens to kill you, man, take them at their word, and you tell the police, you tell your parents, you tell somebody,
yeah,
who will listen, and man, don't stop until somebody actually does listen.
So I'm curious, though. You got into a fight before. I'm curious as to who won.
Will you knock it off?
No, I really am. I'm kind of curious as to who won the original fight, and maybe
I rebuke your stupidity in the name of Jesus. That's right. I just rebuked it.
Man.
Yeah.
That was intense. How do I respond to that?
You can't.
I receive your rebuke in the name of the Holy Spirit? I don't know.
505-338-3700, the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. It's Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. We got to take a quick break.
Yes.
But, yeah, Coming right back. More of your questions, your comments. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. We'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah!
Truth.
We're playing with snakes, worshiping Jesus.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome back
really
to Shock Therapy.
We really
Live.
Don't have reptiles inside
we
the studio.
Not.
Just want to point that out.
Yeah,
I was mocking. I wasn't actually kissing snakes or anything.
You got to be careful because people take you seriously. You're a pastor.
Oh, man.
Yeah, everything you say, they take seriously. Yeah. Yeah. Unless they've listened to the show more than once.
So I'm gonna next week someone's gonna be calling and say, Nate, you said you were playing with snakes, so I played with a snake, I got bit.
Exactly.
And now I'm gonna sue you because I am rattlesnake poisoning.
Yeah, but you never said it was okay to play with snakes. You were
just that I
dancing
do it.
Around like an idiot.
And everyone knows that I'm stupid, so.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
Steve Owen, Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. We got about 10 minutes left to show, and so get
Dude,
it in. Hurry, hurry.
I was just thinking about something stupid. So I have these headphones that
yeah.
I'm wearing right now. They're Bose Quiet Comforts, in case anyone's wondering on the air about what headphones I'm wearing. They're Bose Quiet Comfort 15s. I normally wear my Dr. Dre Beats.
You really do.
But right now I'm rocking the Bose Quiet Comfort 15s. But so you buy these Bose headphones and they have inside the case a little business card holder. And at first you think, oh, that's nice in case I want to carry my business cards. Oh,
nope.
No. They give you 20 business cards that say, customers tell us they often ask about their Bose Quiet Comfort 15 headphones. For your convenience, this courtesy card is yours to pass along. I want to know what idiot is actually flying in an airplane and someone says, hey, what kind of headphones are those? And instead of the person actually answering them, they're like, hold on 1 second. And they pull out their
Bose business card.
And they give it to them like, here you go, bro. Hey, this is for you.
Who's got your back?
Hey, this is for you,
who's
man.
Who's got your back?
This is for you. Take it. It's going to help you out. I mean, honestly, what tool is doing that? I want to know who's actually ever handed these out, and I want to know the people who have gotten them received
yeah.
when they ripped it up and threw it in the trash can. I think right there in front of their face, like, hey, you're an idiot, and you rip it up in front of them and say, why couldn't you just tell me these are Bose Quiet Comfort 15s?
Right, yeah. Because the company obviously wants to make a buck, which is lame because you don't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I think that this should have a voucher on it that when they go to the Bose website and buy them, I get $100. Because otherwise, I'm going to go burn these.
Amazing.
I'm going to write over the Quiet Comfort 15 Dr. Dre Beats and give it
go.
To people. Here you go. Here. The other ones are better. Don't get these.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
Was that kosher for a non-com?
I'm Steve-O. Yeah, because you're not endorsing it. You're talking about them being idiots.
Okay.
So, yes? Question
All right.
mark?
All right.
Or, of course, studio@mystaticradio.com. You can email us, or you can also submit something to Facebook. Facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Okay, we... Ha ha, Jesus snakes.
That's what we got.
Ha ha, ha ha, Jesus snakes.
That's what somebody put.
Yeah. Jesus snakes. I like Jesus snakes. Like, what are they?
I don't know.
Like, wrap themselves in leather and have long hair?
Now, I know there was one thing, since we're coming to the end of the show, something
evil.
We haven't talked about yet, speaking of evil.
Oh, hey, we got a question.
Oh.
No, it's good. She answered my question, Princess Hello Kitty Love.
Oh,
I guess
man.
You can say I won the last fight because my cousin Jeff decided to be a jerk and record the fight. And within 5 minutes, my friend pulled me off and I kicked her on the floor.
Oh, my.
And had her bleeding and I came out with a scratch on my face, just so you know.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
So it's a good thing you're not like stoked and prepped for round two. Come on,
Dude.
Really? That sounds intense.
That's intense.
I think you need to go to Hope.
I think you need to change your email address
because
you're
school.
Very deceptive.
And your school.
Princess Hello Kitty Love. More like Princess Death Love Hate Punch Face.
Atron 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Okay, the show's winding down, and there's something that we started to talk about on Friday on the morning show that I promised we would leave for Shock Therapy Live because it started to veer into Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, we don't
Live
have
territory.
Time for this.
We don't?
It's we have 9 minutes.
Fine.
You kidding me?
Are you going to come on the morning show tomorrow now?
No.
On your day off? And, no,
I'm
can't.
Flying All to right. California tomorrow.
Static.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question.
Yeah.
I know you guys have answered this question before, but it's about the age of accountability. So I'll hang up now and listen to you.
Wait. Oh. You can't just throw that out there and say, so I have a question about the age of accountability. Peace out.
Hey, like, you can.
Yeah, but what's your question?
She wants to know what the age of accountability is.
That's it.
Giddy up.
But there's got to be a reason behind it. Don't hang
up. There's not. We only have 8 minutes. If we talk about why she's asking the question, we're not going to answer the question.
But I care more about the why than the question itself because we've answered this before, and the answer is, who knows?
I think it's a little deeper than that, and we'll answer it.
But
okay, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
I don't. This is why.
Like, get her off the
phone. No, this
phone
is
or
why.
What?
The last guy we talked about this like was yelling at us and was like super angry.
You're right.
I don't want another yeller on the radio.
Yeah,
I don't want another. You guys are stupid.
She didn't seem like a yeller.
I know she
like
didn't.
She was interested.
But you don't know, man. You don't know if she's got Jesus snakes hiding in her purse.
Oh man. We need to get. Never mind. I'm gonna stop what I was gonna say.
So here is the deal with the age of accountability. Steve-O's right. We don't know the exact age, and that's because it's different for every person. The age of accountability is simply the age where you become accountable because you know that you're doing wrong.
Right.
And you have a chance to repent of that. So that can be different for everybody. And for some, I believe some mature a lot quicker than others. And there's those kids that are like 10 years old and they're inherently evil and they know what they're doing wrong and they're like wicked, man. There's other kids who are just like not too bright. And they don't come to that age until they're like 15 or 16. So you know, and I'm not like, I'm saying like.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not like making fun of people or anything.
Yeah, I know.
So it's different for every person. And I believe, and I carry this thought into the concept that there's some people who struggle with mental disabilities. And they can be 40 and have the mental capacity of a 5 or 6 year old. If that person dies, Jesus Christ isn't going to hold them accountable because they didn't have the mental capacity to accept Christ and to repent of their sin because they couldn't understand that thought process. And so the age of accountability is once you get to a place where you realize that you need Jesus Christ, you realize that you're a sinner, and you realize that your sin separates you from God. And so that's a lot to understand. And so I believe when I was a really young kid and I accepted Christ, you could say for the first time, I don't think I really understood what my sin was. I don't think I really understood why Jesus Christ died for my sin. And so I wasn't yet at the age of accountability. And so I think that age again is different for each people. The Bible doesn't give us an age. The Jewish culture, believes that it's 13?
I was going to say 13.
I don't know. One of those ages.
When you hit the teens.
Bar mitzvah.
Right.
Bar mitzvah.
I thought it was
age.
13. Or is it 15?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Hey, if you've had a bar mitzvah, let us know.
Right.
So I think it's really different for each person. I don't think there's an overarching age where you can tell your kid, hey, if you sin now, you're going to hell.
Right.
That would be really mean of a parent to do.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep your kids up at night.
Oh, and they hung up.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. We have 2 minutes left of show. So if
yes.
you have a quick one, that was a good question.
Yeah, it was good. And it was answered quick. And we spent like 2 minutes answering the question instead of like 5 minutes arguing about it.
Yeah, I like that. So you're right.
Oh man. Okay. We've got a lot of comments busting up here on Facebook. A lot of things about Jesus snakes, a lot of things about leather. Someone said Dark Knight Falls. I don't know what that means. I'm kind of confused by that.
Okay.
Someone said, just found Static Radio on iTunes. Missed you guys. Miss ABQ. Thank you, Lord, for the internet. And thank you guys for an amazing show.
Right
hey,
on.
Manny, thank you for listening to our subpar show and telling us that it's amazing.
Final call of the
you
night.
You make us live.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's
man.
Up?
We got about a minute and a half, so go.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, well, you know, I just got off a plane. I'm sitting listening to your show for the first time. And, you know, I've just been studying the early Christians. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this literature that's just come out or been discovered or rediscovered in the last, I don't know, since like the late 1800s. But some people call it the Anti-Nicene Fathers.
Yeah, the Anti-Nicene Creed.
Yeah, well, no, not the Creed. That was done, like, after Constantine.
Yeah.
Just been studying this stuff up through, like, Justin Martyr and stuff, and I've just been really learning, like, the perspective on the early church, how much emphasis they put on a virtuous life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have ever studied that stuff out, but, I mean, even to your listeners, I would totally recommend that. I mean, you could just Google it and find it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't personally read it. I've done a lot of study in church history, but I think the concept there is good, the concept of a virtuous life. And this is what I always say. Some people always want to call in and have questions on shock therapy or questions to me as a pastor and say, hey, how bad is too bad? And I think that's a stupid question. I think we, as a culture, should ask the question, how holy is too holy? How pure is too pure? How righteous is too righteous? So I want to leave the listeners with that this week. As you guys have questions, you guys are dealing with sin, ask yourself the question, how holy can I be before I can be too holy? And the answer is never. So strive for holiness. Look for righteousness. Be pure in your thought life. Be pure as you seek and as you strive for God. And let that be the cry of your heart.
There it is. Shock Therapy Live comes to a close, and if you missed a part of the show, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We podcast it each and every week, and we're here live every single Sunday night at 7 p.m. We are on out. I will see you guys tomorrow morning for the morning show, and Nate, have fun in California.
Peace out.
Until next week. Later.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.